What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Another new episode going 3 wide coming up right now. What's up, everyone? The garage is open. We are going 3 wide with EG3. That's right. My name is Eddie Gritter III, host of Going 3 Wide. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Cable World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And we're coming off one of the best finishes, if not the best finish up to this point, of the NASCAR Cup Series. We're going to dive on into that. And yes, it is called the slide job heard around the world. I'll dive into that momentarily as we move along in tonight's post-race reaction of the edition of Going 3 Wide podcast. Yes, we're going to dive right on into it. And on the back end of tonight's post-race episode, we're going to talk LeBron James headed west. It is official as of last night. Welcome inside this garage. Let's get right down to business. So much to dive into from a triple header weekend in Joliet. And it was bookend by dramatic finishes. The Xfinity Series was kind of boring, but exciting last lap turn events in the Truck Series. And then what happened yesterday between the Kyles, another dramatic finish at Chicagoland. More on that later on tonight in Going 3 Wide. We're going to now start off with the opening lap. And this segment is inserted in new, one of the biggest news stories in all of NASCAR. And of course, our opening lap this week is, of course, all about Dale Earnhardt Jr. Yes, Dale Jr. made his debut official on NASCAR NBC broadcast team this weekend. And he must be feeling even more jacked up. I talked about it on Saturday's recording that he told everybody he was going to be pumped up. And he was up on it indeed. And Dale Earnhardt Jr., so much insight about this sport. He did a tremendous job, and the slide job has gone viral. Indeed, that is why I'm going to call it the slide job heard around the world via Kyle Larson trying to put the move on Kyle Busch. And he said he did the slide job, couldn't do it, and then it was on from there. Man, so much to get into, and the reaction from the fans and all that other stuff. After Kyle Busch managed to come home, get to the checkered flag first to win that race. Man, that's still the talk of the town here as we approach Monday evening. Man, so much to go through. And I'm not a Kyle Busch fan, obviously, but you gotta like what he did in yesterday's race. But yes, opening lap this week, Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s obviously anticipated weekend debut in the broadcast booth, but he's been in there before a couple times with Fox. And of course, when he was injured dealing with his concussion situation, he was up there a couple of times. But it was official, of course, he and Steve Letarte go back with their days at Hendrick Motorsports. And man, he was having a good old time up there, and that's what we haven't seen in quite some time. Guys up there, you know, we talk about Jeff Gordon, DW, up here arguing for supremacy, while these guys, Steve Letarte and Dale Jr., are having a good old time up in the booth. That's what I'm talking about. You gotta get up, go up there, have a good conversation, have a good time. That's what it's all about. And Dale Jr. and then some, and then the excitement Well, nobody can't blame him. Obviously, I'll be up there too, hooting, hollering, at, oh man, look at that move right there, you know, things like that. That is exactly me in the booth as well. So he made that 10, maybe 20 times exciting than the action was, and then the action just got heated up. That was a tremendous race from start to finish, and what took place, even some little bit of probably salty attitude from a driver from SHR. We'll get to that, of course, momentarily as we work through the post-race edition. But man, my goodness, Dale Jr., Steve Letarte, they are having some fun up there, up in the booth all weekend long. Of course, Rick Allen spearheads the NBC NASCAR coverage along with Jeff Burton and those guys, and everybody is still talking about that. And I don't think it's going to calm down for quite a while until we hit Daytona. I think if he was jacked up even right there yesterday, Dale Jr. is going to be even more pumped about going to Daytona, because we also saw an exciting finish the last time we were there with the move that put Eric Almirola into the fence and Austin Dillon winning the Daytona 500 the last time we were there in February. But the situation's changed. Course, hot, slick, racetrack. They're going to go to Daytona this weekend along with the Xfinity Series with that. But yes, the trucks, that is your open lap, ladies and gentlemen, of the week. Dale Earnhardt Jr., a solid A right there. It's my grade right there for Dale Jr. So much to bring to the table in that broadcast, and I thought he did a great job. Two thumbs up, Dale Jr. Going three wide. Thanks for listening tonight. Post-race reaction. Still getting used to the new title there. My name is Eddie Greer, the third host of Going Three Wide, all about the latest in the world of the three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR. Now, turning your attention first, we're going to dive into this truck race, what took place on Friday night. And we saw some exciting racing here as well. The truck series, of course, Noah Gregson won the pole for this race. And how about Dalton Sargeant starting P2? And he was having an Eric Almirola type of day. Dalton Sargeant was up there leading until he was going to win stage one, until a caution came out, and then John Hunter Nemechek ended up winning stage one, and then Sargeant had to rebound from a couple issues in stage number two. I don't know where he finished on the rundown. Definitely, like I have on here, he did not finish in the top 10 there, but Sargeant had the opportunity there possibly to capitalize on a good night, and mistakes plague their chances of trying to get to victory lane. Of course, Justin Haley got his first win in a truck series 2 weeks ago in St. Louis, started in a 10th position in this race. But Noah Gregson, winner of stage two. So you had John Nemechek. These guys, these two were going at it majority of the night. And Brett Moffitt has something to say about it. We're going to get to that dramatic last lap finish here in just a minute. Brett Moffitt made some noise in stage three. But yes, the 8, the 18 stage winners for the truck race took place on Friday night. Pull up my schedule here. That was the Overton's 225. Overton's having the stranglehold on the weekend. Overton's 225, which saw a dramatic last lap change of events on the last lap. Definitely going to get into that. But man, you know, John Nemechek was a pest all night long up here. He's not a regular. I mean, he used to run full time in the trucks. He's moved up this year to the Xfinity Series, helping out that 42 for Ganassi Racing. And he's done, in my eyes, a great job in that 42 in the Xfinity Series. And, of course, you know you're going to get his best shot in a truck series. He already had a win this year at Martinsville, but he was up there bugging the hell out of Gregson, Moffitt, and Johnny Sauter a little bit, was up front for a little bit there, but he had an interesting evening. And then, of course, the up and down Ben Rhodes this year. Ben Rhodes still has not won a race, but he needed a finish in the worst way possible. Ended up finishing second due to the events of what happened on the last lap. And then there are a couple of 3-wide nominees, which I'll get to after my Trucks recap. But yes, John Honeymanchek, he was going to go on to win this race. Vince Welch was already kind of called it on the last lap. And then the cards all of a sudden turned around. Brett Moffitt was stalking John Honeymanchek for the last, 15, 20 laps in the race. Moffitt, and I got something on Moffitt here. And this could have been easily a part of the EG3 rant, which is going to be on the end of tonight's podcast. This is also new, but it's going to be basically 1B because I have issue with that, with what situation Brett Moffitt's in. And I tweeted it out a little bit on Friday night, but John Honeymanchek was on to go, was definitely going to win this race, and then what the Gremlins got John Hunter Nemechek. He had a 3-4 truck length lead on Brett Moffitt. It looked like he was going to hang on to overtake Moffitt, but again, and somebody tweeted out to me yesterday underneath a comment I was talking with Lap Traffic podcast, and they're recording tonight as well. Give them a listen as well. I was commenting on doing my Lucky Dog lap down segment, and somebody's mentioned that he had ran out of gas. But in what John Hunter would said in a post race, that the engine got away from him. So I don't know what the guy was talking about when he was mentioning, well, replying to my comment. But I'm gonna say it like it is. John Honeymanchek, everybody said the engine went out, and that's why I'm gonna go with the engine all of a sudden fell out underneath John Hunter, and in heartbreaking fashion, Brett Moffitt goes by Honeymanchek in turn number 2, goes on to win the race. Moffitt going back to back on top of getting his 3rd win of the season. Back-to-back wins for Brett Moffitt at Chicago after the week prior winning at his home state in Iowa. Comes back to, I mean, this is a perfect example of NASCAR. You can be good, and in some weeks you can be lucky, and then even sometimes when you're good, the next day everything turns the devil on you, and it can be bad. But Brett Moffitt having a tremendous season, his 3rd win of the season. Ben Rhodes finished in a run-up spot, and John Hunter led 64 laps in this race and gets nothing, but pretty much finishes in the 7th spot. And man, the hearts, even I felt bad for the Honeymancheks after that. They look so heartbroken, the faces. They look devastated right after the race. Front row Joe, he was shaking his head multiple times saying, what the hell happened to the engine there? The engine could not last another 3/4 of a lap. They would have won the race and pride pretty much, but this team has been snake bitten every time John Honeymanchek has been in. This is kind of what his career has been like. In the truck series, stink bitten. Going back to last year, he was on a roll in the summer. Had won a couple races in a row, and then all of a sudden finished deep in the field due to mechanical issues or a mistake on pit road, things like that. This is the perfect staple of, unfortunately, John Hunter's career in the Capable Truck Series. Fast trucks, but can't get on the wrong side of luck, and that's just too bad right there. John Hunter, he looked just as devastated as Joe did. Man, your hearts had to feel broken, at least for those guys. But that's what racing does to you, son. We have seen this on multiple counts, not just in the trucks. We've seen Xfinity, and of course in the Cup Series, heartbreak when your driver dominates a race, and all of a sudden the rug goes up beneath you, and all of a sudden you have lost an opportunity to win the race. You're listening to Going 3 Wide with yours truly, Eddie Greer III, here tonight. The post race reaction from a crazy tip-topsy weekend. Enjoy Illinois with the Truck Series saw a dramatic finish between John Hunter Nemechek and Brett Moffitt. And there are some three-wide moments in here that I marked down. Some three-wide nominees in here. Of course, that included John Hunter Nemechek in stage one. Yep, in stage one, I have marked down my on my sheet here. Going three wide on the 16 of Moffitt and Noah Gregson to grab the lead. I believe that was in stage two. And then another second nominee in from this race, that was Todd Gilliland up in here making moves on Ben Rhodes and Noah Gregson. And Gregson on the wrong side of three wide twice in this one as well. Gilliland making hay on three wide here on going through ride with EG3. So there's your nominees on that. Your rest of your top 10. Moffitt, Ben Rhodes, Johnny Sauter, your points leader, finished third. Noah Gregson, your stage two winner, finished in the fourth position. Brandon Jones driving that 51 truck for KBM in the top five. Justin Haley, your gateway winner from 2 weeks ago, finished in the sixth spot. John Nemechek, from the cusp of winning to the heart agony of defeat, seventh place for John Hunter. Grant Impinger finished eighth. Austin Hill, ninth. Myatt Snyder rounds out the top 10. Other notables include Matt Crafton, finished in the 11th, just outside the top 10. Todd Gilliland finished 16th. Stuart Friesen has become the pinball of the Cape World Truck Series. All what I was looking at, they had a highlight reel. Fox Sports 1 had a highlight reel of Stuart Friesen getting into these mini tangles with these drivers over the last couple races. And Friesen, well, got into it with another driver. Friesen was in the top 10 throughout most of this race here until he had contact, I believe. I can't remember exactly who it was at the time, but Friesen, another potential top 10, goes in the garbage. He finished in the 19th position. Of course, Dalton Sargeant, I talked about him a little bit earlier in this segment for the Truck Series. He comes home in the 20th position right there. So there's your look from the race, the Overton's 225. Take a look now at the standings right now. For the regular season, of course, Johnny Sauter plus 65 on Noah Gregson. And, you know, there, of course, we got the big three going on right now in the Cup Series. And you know what? There could be a big three going on in the Truck Series. Got Johnny Sauter obviously dominating throughout most of the year. And then Noah Gregson. Gregson, he's had multiple opportunities to win races, but he can't seem to close a deal. His long win coming at Kansas when we were at Kansas City earlier this year. And, of course, Brett Moffitt getting win number three of the season. That has to be, I bet nobody's really talked about that, really. The big three, everybody's eyes, of course, on the big three, the 7-8, the 4. In the 18, of course, Kyle Busch getting back on the board yesterday in that dramatic, wild finish in the Overton's 400. But in the Truck Series, the 21, the 18, and the 16, and the 16 just won again. And when you put the numbers combined, 7 wins between Sauter, Moffitt, and Gregson. Of course, Haley got in the mix couple weeks ago in St. Louis, which now, when you look at the actual playoff standings now, half the field is set, and you have Grant Enfinger, first one on points, plus 57. Then you have Friesen, Matt Crafton, and Ben Rhodes, plus 29 to Myatt Snyder, first one outside that cut line in the Truck Series points after Chicago. But yeah, man, I mean, when you look at that, you know, you got to talk about the 21 of Sauter, the 16 of Moffitt, and the 18 of Gregson. You see those cats up there each and every week. And we have seen Noah Gregson up front having opportunities to win, but he seems to not close the deal the right way. And Kyle Busch tweeted something out the other day about his driver as being allergic to victory lane, and that was a funny tweet to read. Because the fact that Noah Gregson had multiple chances to win this year. We saw Ty Gilliland up front at Texas a few weeks back. Also in that 51 truck in 54 had been kind of been up and down. We haven't seen much of those guys. We all obviously know Kyle Busch. Every time he's in there, it's going to put that thing up in contention to win. So really, he's probably talking to Noah Gregson about that, because he's had, for the last several weeks now in a truck series, has had multiple chances to win and can't get it done. And you know, Sauter has that comfortable lead and has which is not on my rundown, the playoff point situation, but you better get it going here. Win some more races if you're going to have a chance to be a part of that championship four. And we have seen upsets in the truck series. We see, you know, it's about William Byron a couple years ago. You know, he should have won the championship, but engine took him out of competition. So, you know, anything can happen in the truck series playoffs. And Sauter still has a stranglehold on the playoff point position. Noah Gregson did win stage two. I'm going to attempt to pull while I have my sheet out right now here. Let's see if this, there we go. Playoff points for the Capable Truck Series. Take a look at that. Yeah, so we know Sauter has plus 20 in the sheet here. As I'm waiting on my sheet here, thanks for tuning in to the post-race reaction of Chicagoland on Going 3 Wide with yours truly, EG3. Yes, Johnny Sauter, 22 points. Brett Moffitt now has 16 playoff points. Noah Gregson, 11. That could easily be more than what it is right there. So, Gregson, he's probably talking more about Gregson than any other people who have been driving his trucks. 11 easily could be more than that. And then, of course, only 5 for Haley. Enfinger has 2. Stuart Friesen has 3 stage wins this year. Ben Rhodes has 2 playoff points due to stage wins. And, of course, the other guy who have not yet to score a playoff point or not even win in the trucks, that would be Matt Crafton. Unbelievable. No playoff points and no wins so far. This has been the most talked about organization in the truck series. Trying to find answers, finish outside of the top 10. And we got Eldora coming up here in a couple of weeks for Matt Crafton. He tries to ride the ship here. And of course, this manufacturer switchover between Toyota and Ford, that might be kind of stink bitten. Also, I kind of mentioned this on the last time I recorded on this show. You know, was that a mistake to move from a manufacturer that you have been successful with in the truck series, been leading laps, winning races, winning championships, to trying to change up something that you're not uncomfortable with? I don't know what's exactly the situation is going on there, but Thor Sport Racing has been shut out of victory lane so far this season. Going 3 Wide, we're going to take a first intermission break tonight on the post-race reaction episode of the podcast. When we return to the show, we're going to talk a little bit of Xfinity, talk about that real quick, and then get down to business on what took place with the 42 and the 18. Another epic battle ended with cars spinning all over the place and the Skittles man going back to victory lane. You're listening to Going 3 Wide with EG3. We'll be back in just a bit. We'll be right back. Y'all know what it is. We're going three wide, Chicagoland style. Eddie Greer III for going three wide with EG3, the latest in the world of NASCAR. Came World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, Monster Energy, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. Now, the second part of Chicagoland weekend, of course, John Hunter Nemechek heartbroken from the engine. Brett Moffitt scoring win number three. Kyle Larson whipped up on the Xfinity Series field on Saturday on a commanding. And he had to start from the back of the field along with a couple others. That included Cole Custer up in that mix as well, having to do it from the back of the field. But Kyle Larson had a great weekend, of course, you know, coming up short again yesterday to Kyle Busch, but he had his way with the Xfinity Series field on Saturday, put the field to sleep, leading 80 laps en route to another Xfinity Series win, which was his second of the season. He won earlier at Las Vegas this year. And of course, Kevin Harvick was in this mix in the Cup Series, along with Paul Menard, Chase Elliott, and Daniel Suarez, part of that Cup Series gang up in that mix on Saturday. But yep, but in this mix, Cole Custer sandwiched in between Harvick and Suarez on the rundown order. Cole Custer starts from the back of the field, and he is the best Xfinity Series finisher in Chicagoland. And we have a new points leader going into Daytona, more on that momentarily. And a story here, Elliott Sadler, of course, big news coming from that camp, Dream Motorsports, and I don't get this as well. And I didn't touch on Brett Moffitt, which I might as well save that toward the end of the show. So I'm going to put that in the bank for now. I'll save that toward the end of tonight's post-race podcast. But back to Elliott Sadler here for a couple of minutes. Elliott Sadler had come in, led the points most of the year up until this point. And then we get big news from Junior Motorsports on multiple accounts. First, we hear it's official that Michael Annett has re-signed for that 5 car for Junior Motorsports. And a lot of people are questioning that move. I haven't read all the comments, but that was a puzzling move in my opinion. And then One Main Financial already, you know, Lowe's not coming back to the Cup Series. And for all that success in the Xfinity Series, One Main Financial, who has been right there with Elliott Sadler with the highs and especially the heartbreaks of his Xfinity Series career, they will not return to sponsor Elliott Sadler next year. That was big. And that announcement came out, I believe, on Friday afternoon somewhere in there. But yes, Elliott Sadler, Mr. Top 10 in the Xfinity Series, bounced back to had a good run the other day also. But Elliott Sadler, sad news for that team. They're going to have to look for a new sponsor going to next year. But yes, One Main Financial not coming back for Elliott Sadler. And the missed opportunities there, mainly with the championships. This cat could easily, and I've said this on multiple accounts on the podcast, whether it's the EG3 show or going three wide with EG3. But either way, though, Elliott has had opportunity after opportunity to win the championship. He has not done that. It looks like he's going to have his hands full if he is going to have a chance to finally break that stranglehold of not winning a championship. But Sadler, though, did finish in the top 10 after that. So that was good for him on that at least. But they're going to have to get the work on finding a sponsor. Of course, Kyle Larson won the pole, won the race. And, of course, Tyler Reddick, what an afternoon he had, winning stage one, and all of a sudden, he had a bad pit stop, and then everything just went south of the border for Tyler Reddick. Ended up wrecking out of this race. A big one happened. I believe that came in stage two in this race. Of course, Larson, I had on here, there we go, Larson, the winner of stage two, had to hold off Kevin Harvick. And he had to do it again the rest of the race there. But Kyle Larson, that thing, 42. And yes, Dale Jr. is right about Kyle Larson. We should already know this by now. Kyle Larson, the best at running the high side. You know, Dale Jr. did it back in his time, but right now, Kyle Larson, and this is the fear factor we're talking about when talking about Homestead. And yes, sorry, this is a long ways out from Homestead and whatnot. That's if he gets through the rounds without any bad luck. But Larson, the fear that he has in the Homestead, he knows how to run that line. A perfect example yesterday in the Cup Series, Saturday in the Xfinity Series, and we've seen it all throughout his career. He has made his marksmanship right there on that safer barrier wall with their grip at. I don't know how they drive some of these cats do it. I know if I was running up there, I know I'll lose my concentration real quick. Maybe after 5 or 10 laps up there driving for a while, maybe I'll go to sleep for a little bit and hit the wall. But this takes this takes a lot of concentration, especially if you're searching for grip on any type of racetrack. And Kyle Larson is a perfect example. You want to be a good race car driver, you got to find multiple good grooves on where you're comfortable at. Kyle Larson, obviously, you know, for the past mile and a half tracks, he was down the bottom for whatever reason. But I saw this in person in KC this year. Kyle Larson ran down Blaney and Harvick to take stage two. And then, of course, the circumstances that took place after the fact, he could have won that race in KC, but it did not, thanks to Blaney. And Larson took care of business on Saturday's race, but Larson had an opportunity there to knock off Kyle Busch. I'm gonna get to that. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. I'm gonna get to that here in just a bit. But yet, Larson winning this race, Harvick second, Cole Custer your regular Xfinity finisher, leading Xfinity driver third, Suarez, Daniel Hemric finished fifth, Elliott Sadler sixth, Justin Allgaier come home in 7th, Paul Menard 8th, Chase Briscoe comes home 9th. How about that? That's a quiet 9th place for Chase Briscoe. That's an attaboy right there. And Chase Elliott, so Chase back-to-back chases there. Chase Briscoe 9th, Chase Elliott in the 10th position. Some notables here. Brandon Jones in 11th, Christopher Bell finished in the 12th position after leading 21 laps. Ross Chastain finished a lap down in this race. He finished in a 13th spot, excuse me, right there. Austin Cindric 14th, Ryan Truex 15th. I just basically round down the top 15. And then you have Ryan Reed 32nd, Tyler Reddick finished 33rd after winning stage one. Got caught up in the big one on the back stretch there, and Tyler Reddick there finished deep in the field. That's your rundown from the Overton's 300. You're listening to Going 3Y with yours truly, EG3. Thanks for tuning in tonight for the Post Race Reaction Podcast. If you're wondering about the title, I officially changed it during the weekend, and there's an episode about the change. You can go check that out. If you have not already checked it out, I encourage you to do so. Give it a listen. And I will leave it right there for you. So definitely going through it. I'm excited about the title moving forward. Of course, yes, NASCAR and NBC taking over NASCAR. I thought, well, maybe it's time to change the title a little bit here and go for it. So I'll leave it there. I'm going to let you guys go ahead and listen to that. And, of course, this post-race podcast, like every post-race reaction podcast, is up on Tuesday morning. So I'm recording this on Monday night, just getting back home from a long day on the road. But yes, and so there is that. And of course, I talked about a change in the standings there. We got a new points leader, ladies and gentlemen. That in the person of Cole Custer, but only by a margin of 3 to Daniel Hemric. Elliott Sadler, though, still right there buzzing around. Only 4 points back, 1 point back of Hemric. Christopher Bell is creeping up in here, 28 back, and of course, that's double to where Tyler Reddick is. Tyler Reddick lost multiple positions due to his wreck. Tyler Reddick is 5th, and that's a look at your standings right there, trying to pull up the playoffs standings right now for the Xfinity Series, which is momentarily doing that. But Tyler Reddick has scored another playoff point for his cause, though. So when you look at that now, you look at the playoff point situation, Justin Allgaier leads the Xfinity Series regulars with 8 points. They have Christopher Bell, 7. Tyler Reddick with his win in Daytona earlier this year in the season premiere and grabbing another stage when he has 6. Daniel Hemric, 2. Elliott Sadler has 4 stage wins, but still yet to win this year. Brandon Jones has a playoff point as well. And then no playoff points for the consistent Cole Custer, who has been racking them down, putting them up and putting them down. And we have the unknown of Daytona coming up here this weekend, part of July, for a celebration on Friday night down in Daytona Beach, Florida. And of course, now we look at the cut line now for the Xfinity Series. And I listened to a lot of this race on MRN. The Chicagoland race was the start of a 15 consecutive week stretch of racing, and they will not get an off week until after the first cutoff race of their playoffs. So a lot of racing for these boys coming up through the first round of the playoffs. But Ryan Sieg is the first guy out. Ross Chastain extended his lead to plus 33 on Sieg, but that could all change in one wreck at Daytona. So a lot could be decided right there. Of course, Ryan Reed, before Chastain, has a 77-point cushion up in there as well. So you got to look forward to a lot of Xfinity Series action here coming up for those boys here in the next 14 weeks. You'll see the Going 3 Wide. EG3, Eddie Greer III here with you guys tonight. Thank you for tuning in to Post Race Reaction Triple Header Weekend. And my, oh my, it was capped off by the slide job heard around the world. Slide job, slide job, slide job. Yep, Dale Earnhardt Jr. bringing the excitement back to NASCAR. And this finish was unbelievable yesterday. Now we've entered into the Cup reaction. And I gotta say this, that obviously the best rate finish of the year, that overtakes what I saw in KC. And I have a little comparison about that when I get wrapped up with here. But that's what you want to see. And it's too bad that, you know, the fans, you know, did all what they did yesterday after what Kyle Busch did and whatnot. But, you know, it's too bad that we didn't see a bigger crowd in the stands, because we saw action from the moment of the green flag all the way through the last lap duel between Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch. Another epic battle between those two in the books. Another chapter ends with a thrilling finish there. But it's probably because we had guys had a start in the back of the field due to failing post qualifying inspection. We had Paul Menard win the pole for some 368 races straight, breaking that streak. Paul Menard getting it done on qualifying day right there. That was a kind of a big story right there of the week. Paul Menard, the Wood Brothers, getting the job done there with the pole. And Ryan Blaney sat on the front row with Paul Menard right there. But the other story here, 4 big-name cars, well, 3 of them, well, 4 cars went through the back. Truex, Jimmy Johnson, obviously the common denominator with these cars is, I don't know what it is with, you know, Jimmy Johnson, you know, the track record speaks for itself. And then the rise of Truex and Cole Pearn, they get watched the most. In my opinion, I had this conversation with some other people about it, but obviously Truex 78-48, the most watched in there. You might as well go ahead and throw obviously the 4 up in there as well, the most watched cars in there. Denny Hamlin's team failed inspection, and Chris Buescher, the 37, also did not pass inspection. They all had a start in the back of the field. Truex roared his way to the top 10 in stage one. Meanwhile, Jimmy Johnson had his hands full. It took him a bit to get through the field. And obviously, you know, practice one through the weekend, everybody hopped on the bandwagon already because, oh my goodness, Jimmy Johnson leading the practice. I believe Blaney won the opening practice this weekend, but everybody was jumping on. Oh man, Henry Motorsports! But we're not even racing in the morning. So I was too worried about that. The main thing was how the cars going to handle in the actual heat. And still, though, they're a little bit off. Chase Elliott, though, still was leading Henrik Pack there. But Alex Bowman did a great job yesterday's race also. But Jimmy Johnson still not where he needs to be when it comes to mile and a half racetrack. And do I have a three wide? I do not have a three wide nominee in the Xfinity Series. Yeah, okay, so thanks for that. So moving on, so I had forgot about that, but did not have a nominee for three wide. There's still, you have the two truck nominees for three wide in that position. But yes, Jimmy Johnson still doesn't need where to be in that aspect. And there is that. But obviously, though, the other story coming out of here was Stuart Haas Racing. And again, the main story of 2018, Stuart Haas Racing. Clint Bowyer, Eric Almirola, leading laps. Bowyer making mistakes. Bowyer making mistakes. They had to come back down pit road and that pretty much killed their race right there. If not for that, Clint Bowyer could have easily, might have had opportunity to be able to compete with Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch was absolute junk, and I still don't know how the hell he won this race. Obviously, it speaks to Adam Stevens giving Kyle what he needs, and obviously that's why they have been champions in the sport. Obviously, you cannot count a champion out. You know, you can be dialed out early on, but you have all these laps to get it going, and that's what apparently happened. And Parker Kligerman, Kaelin Mano, I also made a mistake of putting Kyle Busch, leaving him in the garage. I'm in two fantasy teams right now. One of my buddies, and of course, I'm taking participate in the whole fantasy NBC NASCAR Fantasy League, and that's where I left Kyle Busch at. So, yeah, I'm kind of scratching my head on that one, too. But nobody could have known by then, though, because Kyle Busch was screwed. Plowing. And he was, and Jeff Burton made a perfect explanation of Kyle Busch yesterday in the broadcast, saying, you know, when things going good, it's going good. But when it's terrible, he has only one word answer. And that was a perfect analogy there for Kyle Busch. He was ticked that his car wasn't driving. And obviously, we all thought, if you thought that Kyle Busch would have run this race in that time span, you better be out your damn mind. Because he was definitely not in the racetrack. He had been behind throughout most of the weekend. Truex showed some good speed. Harvick obviously topped the charts. And he topped the charts during the 10-lap average throughout the practice sessions. But when it came to play late, though, Adam Stevens made the changes necessary to put Kyle Busch in a position to grab a win. And the analogy was right for the NASCAR on NBC game with Krista, Dale, and Kyle saying, you know, Martin Truex answered the bell yesterday. Or not yesterday, last week in Sonoma. Kevin Harvick's been doing it all year. Kyle Busch needed to make something happen, and they did. They made something happen. Not only that, they did it in dramatic fashion by losing the lead for a little bit on Kyle Larson, and then Kyle Busch putting the bumper to Larson. Larson, long spin going to turn four. Busch hit the wall, and then goes past Larson all the way to the checker flag. This was going to be one last man standing. It was exactly that. My goodness. But going back to Stuart Haas Racing for a minute, before we took our final intermission here tonight on the post-race, that Clint Bowyer, that changed the race there right off the bat. You know, if you're going to compete in the playoffs, with those guys. You can't make mistakes like that. And yes, he was pissed yesterday, you know. Oh, you know. He was also pissed off at Sonoma also, you know. We had the speed, but we want to get up there and win the race, but couldn't do it. And this is what's happening now. You know, you're having fun, all this other stuff. Yeah, man. We're glad to be back in victory lane, but all of a sudden, you want more. This is what's happening with that 14 bunch now. Clinton Boyer, he wants to go up there and win more. And at this point of the game here, the way that the playoff points shaking up, Kyle Busch now overtaking Kevin Harvick, 30 playoff points now to Harvick's 27. Now, as we go to Daytona, where pretty much anything can happen now. And Daytona, as usual, interesting perspective now. Obviously, with all these playoff spots wide open, that somebody like McMurray, Menard, Bubba Wallace can get up there and upset the field. That's what I'm talking about stealing the win right there. Daytona, somebody out up into the shadows, somebody can go up there and win the race up there. So, down there, so anything can happen this weekend. That's going to be intriguing. And if I'm somebody down that cut line, somebody, I probably would not want anybody like somebody like McMurray, a big threat, really, to go up there and win a race. A Daniel Suarez, who vowed that he was going to go to the playoffs this year. He's got 9 races to do that. But if you're going to go up there and race with Truex, Harvick, and Kyle Busch, you can't be making mistakes like that. And Clinton Boyer shot himself in the foot. And then you turn around and Eric Almirola, one of the other stories of yesterday, you know, the broadcast team making high praise for Almirola, and then loose wheels. You know, the team hurt Almirola, and it goes back saying, you know, driver, you can't make driver error, you can't make team error. It's a team sport. I had a conversation with PETM podcast crew yesterday about something similar with Truex, with the whole pit stall situation. But you know, it goes back. It's a whole team process, and again, the pit team did not do the job for Almirola. So you know, Almirola was disappointed. And yes, you know, this is what I'm talking about. This is going back related to Dalton Sargeant in the truck series on Friday night. You have an opportunity to make something happen with a good truck. In this case here for Almirola, a good race car, because he's up there leading and getting his first stage win in his career. But he looked like he checked out. He raced Harvick hard. He checked out on Harvick. He was gone. And on multiple accounts, he looked like he was going to get that first win, but couldn't get it done. And again, later on in this race, he had another problem with the whole wheel problem. So, you know, as much as we want to say for that situation, you know, Eric Almirola, he has got himself a good cushion right now, but obviously though, he's hungry for that victory. And that's just a damn shame for Almirola, because he could have been a factor also. But again, you know, it's up and down day really for Stuart Haas Racing, and he had a conflict with Kurt Busch and Kevin Harvick. Kurt being a little salty on the radio. I'm going to leave it that there for the final segment tonight. But yeah, Stuart Haas, they had an opportunity to win the race. But at the end of the day though, Kyle show again. And for whatever reason, these two like to play contact with each other. We saw that Bristol on a short track, and it translated to the Mount Ave, the famous slide job edition. Kyle Larson couldn't complete that. And made contact with Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch said, hell nah, I ain't gonna take that. And repaid the favor. And that's fine racing with me right there. And, you know, a lot of people say, you know, you hate that kind of racing, folks, you might as well watch something else. Because that's what racing is all about right there. Exciting. You want to see exciting side-by-side racing right there. That's a perfect example right there. So I don't know what the fans, some of these fans are watching or whatever they're doing. But if some of these people out here making the comments on Twitter, they don't like what they're saying, go find something else to watch. That's all I got to say. EG3 show. Oh, excuse me. I knew I was going to say that. The Coming 3. Wow, I'm too excited, folks, man. This is too much. We're going to take an intermission. Going 3. Wow, when we come back, full field rundown. EG3 helmet stickers. First three EG3 radio rant. I'm going to have that coming up also. And LeBron James, don't go anywhere. Man, still pumped up from that finish. Coming back to going three wide in just a moment. What's up, y'all? Going three ride continues. Chicagoland recap, post-race reaction. Eddie Greer III here with the guys tonight. Thank you for tuning in to the post-race reaction. Going three wide, packed with recap, info, reaction, Cable World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, Monster Energy, NASCAR Cup Series, three biggest divisions, and all of more sports. Continuing with the Orbitz 400 recap, Stuart Haas Racing had a good day and a bad day. Kurt Busch being salty with Kevin Harvick's move off of turn four to Kevin Harvick getting that stage point, getting another stage point, which is 27 stage points. Kurt Busch, I guess, was frustrating. In a matter of fact, I have a problem with this also, because I don't know what Kurt is talking about. I still don't know what Kurt's talking about. And this is racing. Flat racing, and you're complaining. I just don't get it. You're a veteran of the sport. You're a champ. Not only that, you're a champion also, and you're complaining. This is what stage race is all about. Everyone likes it, including myself. And I still don't know what he's talking about. He obviously was crying about Kevin Harvick passing him. I mean, I don't know what you expect. This is not restricted play racing. I don't know what you're getting that at. So this is a mile and a half racetrack. We want to see racing at its finest in Chicagoland from top to bottom. Actually, we saw plenty of action, drama to the finish, and Kurt Busch, the questioning saga Kevin Harvick in his post-race commentary right there to Dave Burns. I don't know where he got his information from, saying that Kurt Busch want to have conversation. I don't know where he got that must out of a imaginary pocket or something, because there is nothing in there in that dialogue that say I'm gonna talk to Harvick after this race about that. There is nothing about that. If he saw something, he gotta talk to me about that, because I didn't see nothing about that situation. So, but other than that, Kurt Busch being all ultimate salty over the radio, and you just gotta race harder. That's just what it is. Harvick was making progress on Kurt Busch in stage two, and obviously Harvick getting another stage point while Kurt Busch loses out on the stage point. So, you know, maybe he's mad over that. I have no idea. But in this case here, though, Kurt Busch didn't get a playoff point, and he was, I guess, pissed off about it and made havoc about it. So, but whatever it is, this is racing. I mean, every playoff point count matters. With Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, again, is basically the picture-perfect example of trying to get a win and either pad your playoff stats or try to punch your ticket officially into the postseason. Larson still hasn't done that yet, but he's had good runs over the course of the season. Not where we saw what we saw last year, but it's amazing that Larson still has not won on a mile-and-a-half track in the Cup Series. He had opportunity in KC to do that, and we mentioned that earlier, obviously. And then here yesterday, put the contact to Kyle Busch with the slide job. And first off, Kyle Larson, there was no give up yesterday. I mean, he made contact. Everybody thought he was done. But something told me that he's going to have another shot to run him down because of these lap cars, especially Newman. Ryan Newman, the toughest driver to pass on all of NASCAR. Ryan Newman drives as hard. He shouldn't be lapped down. He should be up in the lead lap instead of racing hard every time. But, you know, same old goes. Nothing don't change with Ryan Newman. You know he's going to be lapped down pretty much, but racing everybody hard as hell out on the racetrack going 3-wide EG3 post-race reaction style. Packed here tonight. Eddie Gritter III here with the guys on back on Monday night. But Ryan Newman, it started with him. Kyle Busch couldn't get to him, get it past him. And Dale Jr., another perfect analogy. Newman is Newman. Yep, he got that right. And then another two cars, Kurt Busch was about to go lock down in that max cell. Kurt Busch is whining, kind of carried on after that. Kurt Busch, look on here in the rundown, he did not finish in the top 10. So that kind of had an effect after not getting that stage point. So his, whining kind of affected the rest of the race there. But he was about to go lap down. Another lap car was in the way. Larson runs Kyle Busch back down. It was on from their last lap finish. Larson, hell of a run. Prepares the slide job move. He could not complete the slide job move. So taps Kyle Busch, did not finish Kyle Busch off, so that's two, strike two on him. And then, of course, strike three, Kyle Busch finishes him off. Larson goes speeding down, and Busch wins it. Oh my goodness, and the fans, I have something else for you there. Full field run down right now, starting with Timmy Hill, shotgun through the field, 39. David Reagan had some issue, but still ended up finishing though, but finishes 38th. Austin Dillon, another dismal finish, 37th. Landon Castle, 36th. BJ McCloy, 35th. Corley Joy, 34th. Kyle Weatherman, 33rd. Reed Sorensen, 32nd. Greg Gauding, 31st. Ross Chastain in 30th position. Matt DiBenedetto, 29th. Ty Dillon, 28th. Casey Kane, the mystery continues about that crew chief change. Was that the right move? And I mentioned on last week's post-race podcast, that was not the right move to go in. They're still struggling. 27th, River Bain, 26th. Eric Almirola, stage one winner, 25th. Two loose wheel issues pretty much put the cap on his chances of ending a long winded drought. AJ Allmendinger, 24th. Bubba Wallace, come home at 23rd. Chris Buescher, after starting in the back, 22nd. Michael Madal, 21st. William Byron, 20th. Chase Elliott, who was in the top 10 for multiple counts in this race, ended up finishing 19th. Ouch. Ryan Blaney, 18th. Kurt Busch did finish a lap down, 17th. My, oh my, how a moment like that can change a whole race like that. And then Stenhouse, 16th. Ryan Newman, Newman on Newman, 15th. Jimmy Johnson, 14th. And Newman, I guess it did pay off for him. He did finish on the lead lap, while Blaney, Elliott, and Kurt Busch did not. Jimmy Johnson, 14th. Paul Menard, your pole sitter, 13th. Jimmy Mack finished 12th. Daniel Suarez just outside the top 10 in 11th. And then how about Alex Bowman? Back, I believe that's back-to-back top 10 finishes, if I'm not mistaken, for Bowman in the 10th position. So he's getting some momentum out running Jimmy Johnson and his teammate Chase Elliott there. So he is your lead Hendrick driver right there. Brad Keselowski, 9th. Logano, 8th. Denny Hamlin, 7th. The quiet man, Eric Jones. That's back-to-back top 10 for him, too. Eric Jones, a quiet 6th place finish for him. And Clint Bowyer, 5th. Riley back to finish 5th. Martin Truex Jr., 4th. Harvick, 3rd. Larson, Busch, We already covered that. EG3 running it down. Overton's 400 in the big three was at one point in stage three. 1, 2, 3. That was Harvick, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. up there making a statement there again that if you're going to win races, you got to beat those guys. And Larson could not get it done in turn number three right there. So, right there. And Kyle Busch, who was out to lunch in this race throughout most of the weekend, comes back to lead 59 laps en route to win this race. Harvick again in contention, 39th. And I'm going to go back to Almirola for a second here. Eric Almirola led 70 laps in this race. I think that's the most laps led in this race. And that's the most laps led he has led in, some 3-4 years? He never led this much. Obviously, with RPM, Richard Petty Motorsports, for those you don't know. Almirola, a career day, but 20th place finish is not going to cut it if he's going to go back to victory lane. And he's going back to his home, one of his home tracks, Daytona, where he came 2 turns away from winning the 500. And we know what happened there. Don't have to say much there. And Almirola will have to redeem himself for what took place there. E3Y with EG3. Eddie Greer to third, which turns to me now. Time for your EG3 helmet stickers. And a 3Y nominee in this race happened, which actually involved Eric Almirola in this race also. And I had it written down here, but I guess, let's see here, blah, there you go. So Eric Almirola, I guess, his career afternoon, though, he made a 3-wide nominee list for this weekend, putting the move on Chase Elliott and teammate Bowyer for a top 10 spot in stage 3. Almirola, but laps later, though, Almirola had a second wheel problem, which pretty much doomed his afternoon. EG3 helmet stickers of the weekend belong to these drivers: Ben Rhodes, Austin Hill, Myatt Snyder in the Truck Series, Cole Custer, Ross Chastain, Jeremy Kmetz in the Xfinity Series race, and then Brandon Jones. Excuse me, not Brandon Jones. I am so sorry. Eric Jones, Alex Bowman, and Paul Menard. EG3 helmet stickers of the week. Let's run them down one more time. Ben Rhodes, Austin Hill, Myatt Snyder, Cole Custer, Ross Chastain, Jeremy Kmetz, Eric Jones, Alex Bowman, and Paul Menard. EG3 helmet stickers of the week. You're listening to Going 3Y with yours truly, Eddie Greer III, on a Monday night post-race reaction. Just a few more minutes on tonight's podcast episode. Moving on to some NBA news real quick before I have my EG radio rant to wrap the show. But yes, LeBron James, this was mentioned to me during at a dinner table yesterday. LeBron James going out west, and he is now in Los Angeles Laker. So there's that. That's really no surprise. Everybody's been talking about that now since the NBA Finals and all the other stuff, since they're about to, his Cavs were about to get swept by the Warriors. And now the intriguing question is, is LeBron James going to win a championship over there with the Lakers? You got to get some help over there first. And my friend tweeted out yesterday in his tweet saying, LeBron ain't going to win no championship in Los Angeles. And I said I agree with that, and I still agree with that. You got to get some help over there first. And there was talk about Kawhi going over there, but Greg Popovich, Spurs head coach, don't want to deal with Kawhi in the same conference. Want to get him away to the Eastern Conference. So his mission could be completed right there on that note. But yes, so LeBron James going to the Lakers, where he had, reports say he already had another house over there in LA. So guess everything works out for a reason there. And now LeBron James, you got Paul George over there, Chris Paul re-signing with the Clippers. Not the Clippers, the Houston Rockets, where I'm getting that from. The Rockets re-signing Paul. Paul saying unfinished business. Paul George re-signs with OKC, Oklahoma City Thunder. So a lot already going on in NBA free agency. When top it all off, you already got Steph Curry and Kevin Durant over there, and you're going to be seeing them again. So LeBron James going to have some decent help. He's going to have opportunity to get past them guys. That's already tough-ass position conference as it is. The toughest, probably the toughest conference in all of sports. We look at that. Heavy names now in that on that side of the basketball. LeBron James, Paul George, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond, Harden, your MVP from this year. The list goes on. My good Donovan Mitchell, the rookie of the year. Good gracious, Westbrook. The list goes on. So that's the mega conference right there. Big name stars over there. And you just add another Pete one over there now. So the gauntlet just got even tougher. Unless the Lakers can make other moves to help out LeBron. You know LeBron's going to ask for help. So that's priority number one for them, is getting LeBron what he needs. If they're going to have a shot at getting back to the postseason. Going 3-wide with your truly EG3. Before I get to my radio rant, EG, going 3-wide, I almost said it again, going 3-wide is on Facebook. The name is still the 3 EG3 show, but I'm going to get that changed this week. Facebook.com/EG3 show right there for now, but it will be changed to going 3-wide. Stay tuned throughout the week for some some updates from around the motorsports. If there's some, we'll pass it along. And of course, Podcast Center, going 3-wide. You can find that obviously on your normal Apple Podcasts, iTunes. Please, if you have not subscribed already, do that. Our new cover looks fly on that. Get on that. And of course, we're on Audioboom, Spotify, and iHeartRadio as well, Apple Podcasts. And yes, join the movement, as you saw yesterday. If we see more acceleration like that, you better join the movement on going 3-wide with your truly EG3. Please add that to your weekly shows of racing podcasts. If you have not already, please do that as well. So, got a lot going on there, including me still getting used to the name change. Going 3-wide is going to conclude when I get finished with the inaugural EG3 radio rant coming up right now. Alright, so now I have two things now I have to explain. So the first one, Brett Moffitt. Brett Moffitt has 3 wins this season, and there's uncertainty about sponsorship. Probably might have heard this somewhere else, but I'm going to even have my say in this. Somebody's got to give him an opportunity to race for a championship. This is a championship caliber team that shown speed, knows how to win races. You got a guy, a talented guy, that's driven in the Cup Series. Somebody's got to give this cat an opportunity to race for a championship. This is the bottom line. We're getting deep in the season now, and we're in the month of July, and Brett Moffitt is still not even secure. He's even questioning the opportunity, maybe probably not to even run for a championship. That probably leaves an open space for somebody. If he don't find sponsorship, you can't really race, but you can't go up there and win races and compete for a championship. So somebody, anybody out there with time on their hands, better get on the Brett Moffitt train, because this cat has 3 wins, and he is sticking up on Johnny Sauter, at least in the playoff category, in the win column. So this Brett Moffitt, talented car driver and a championship contender, a title contender, and he don't have no sponsorship. Somebody got to give him a chance, opportunity to do that, because this is not the first time that we've heard sponsorship being an issue in any kind of series. It's been an issue for a few years now, and this is what this NASCAR world has come to about sponsorship. And Brett Moffitt, he's put in the work, he's done what he has to do, and he's put his team on his back, been in contention to win races, and unsure about sponsorship throughout the rest of the year. This is a championship caliber team, and he's unsure about his future rest of the year, and they were that close to not running this race. That's absurd. I can't believe that. So somebody got to give him an opportunity. Anybody, You see his success. Somebody has to have the binoculars on, see what he's doing. And he's doing a hell of a job for that 16 right now. Three wins. Not only that, going back to back and possibly have an opportunity to race for a championship in November. That's unbelievable. And my last rant. EG Radio Rant. The fans. Yesterday. Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, duking it out. Tip-tapping each other. Wrecking one another. Kyle Larson spinning down turn four. Kyle Busch somehow gets the checkered flag first. Harvick nowhere to be found. Dale Jr. asking Harvick where Harvick at. Harvick wasn't even close. Still wasn't even close after the contact with two Kyles there. But the fans, all I hear, you know, there are people on Twitter saying they heard a mix of boos and cheers. All I heard was boos. And those were the loudest boos I heard all year long. And I mentioned it, stated this earlier in the podcast, that yes, by now, y'all know by now, I am not a Kyle Busch fan. But that race ended yesterday, that race was tremendous. From start to once that green flag dropped, and we had drama throughout it. We had weather coming to play. We had a little bit of everything. We had drivers being upset at a stage win, whatever. But the fans yesterday, all boos, really, in my opinion, really. I heard some cheers up in there, but I thought I heard a lot of boos to me. And there was a lot of crying about, you know, stop it. This is what we all, and maybe why this is why, maybe probably reason the attendance is down in NASCAR, because we don't see a lot of this anymore. And Kyle Busch is not my driver, but what he and Kyle Larson did yesterday, Kyle Larson not my driver either, but the way those two race each other, respect after the fact. We saw a hell of a race in a race yesterday, and the fact that some of these idiots are what they're watching, I don't know what they're looking at, because this is probably why the attendance is down. It's sad that we didn't get to see a bigger crowd than what we saw at Chicagoland. But when you turn the page over, one of my exciting finishes was at Kansas Speedway, my home track, where Harvick ran down Truex. Truex escaped out and then looked like he was going to check out, and Harvick got the caution, escaped the caution, and then got the caution he was looking for, and then Harvick eventually ran Truex down and a couple months ago, and he ended up winning that race on the last lap. And I was talking about that. I was raving about that. Yes, I mean, my driver lost to Kevin Harvick again, but the fans, the way they reacted, that was a whole different situation than what I heard yesterday. The fans at KC, they were on it, man. They were pumped up. They were excited. They were talking about the finish. So I was leaving. We were talking about the finish. My buddies were talking about the finish. But, man, that was a good-ass race. And then you turn around here, Chicagoland, the best finish of the year, you hear whining. You guys got to get the heck out of here with that, man. I mean, this is what NASCAR's all about. Drivers going for the win. And now with this playoff format, or how 5 points can probably could be the difference of you moving on to the championship four and you being left out in the dust. And fans are reacting salty about, you know, Kyle Busch doing what he did. The crybaby face with Kyle Busch, that was funny in that sense as well. I liked it also. Yes, again, you know, this should be kind of balanced out, because I thought that, you know, with the way the finish at KC with Harvick and Truex did not get really enough publicity as this finish here with that. That was good racing back then. It was good racing that we saw yesterday. So really, it's got to balance out a little bit, you know, with the fact, you know, whether you're a fan of Harvick, Truex, Kyle Busch, or Kyle Larson, or Clinton Boyer, Logano, whatever. You know, you got to applaud to finish what you saw yesterday. And, you know, a lot of people liked it, but again, at the same time, you know, a lot of people did not like it. And you don't like the sport, go find somewhere else to watch, because we need, for whatever reason, you know, with the dominant big three, all the talk has been all about this year, up until this point, we've seen greatness with Harvick, Truex, and Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch responds with another win, now has 30 playoff points. Harvick has 27, and Truex has 18 going into the unknown Daytona. They're really the same thing, but Daytona now, which now brings to the point that, you know, anybody can win that race. And with somebody who outside that 16 box wins can change the whole complexion of the situation in the playoff points. It is wide open. Daytona is wide open. Everybody's going to say Stenhouse is going to win. I don't know about it. You could see somebody else win the race. And that might be a bold prediction already, I'm going to say. But there's other players who could win that race on Saturday night. You know, Stenhouse, defending winner of the race a year ago, 1776, America, we are the champs. Tim Stenhouse, better bring that this weekend. But overall, this race was exciting, and you know, the fans, those fans who say there was not a good finish or whatnot, you know, what Kyle Busch was, you know, they're mad. Yeah, obviously they're mad because Kyle Busch won. But not putting up respect, you know, they need to go find somewhere else and go find somewhere else to use your time, because you're just wasting everybody else's time, you know, saying that was not a good race, because everybody's still talking about racing. We're going to be probably still talking about that all the way up to the green flag of the Xfinity Series. That's how great a race that was. And for those fans out there, you know, who were booing, those should have been really cheers, because that was a hell of a finish there. And Kyle Busch got a lot of boos, but Kyle Busch didn't care. Whatever. You know, he won another race, whatever. And pretty much the crybaby face. You're going to be seeing that in GIFs coming to your Twitter near you. So there is that, folks. EG Radio Rant this week. Brett Moffitt in the finish yesterday, folks. Man, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a fun podcast. This might be up there in post-race podcast this year. This was exciting, but ladies and gentlemen, we got to wrap this up. That's going to do it for Post-Race Reaction Chicagoland Style on Going 3 Wide. Thanks for tuning in to tonight's post-race edition of 3 Wide. Eddie Greer III saying thanks once again. And remember, we'll be back later this week. And I am, well, actually, I'm not unsure. I'm going to watch Saturday Night's Race. I got a video, a wedding this weekend. But we'll see how that goes. But other than that, what a finish. And I'm going to leave you again with the unbelievable call on NBC yesterday with Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson. The epic battle continues. Kyle Busch wins another battle. And I'm just going to leave you to it. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. And remember, folks, you don't want to get caught going 3 wide. We'll talk to you later. We out.
Here comes Larson.
Will this outer lane stay clear?
Contact there again. The 18 slides up the racetrack. The 17 right in front of the 42. Now the 17 hindering the 42's progress. 3 laps to go. Now down to 2.
This is crazy.
Larson again trying to get up to the wall.
Kyle Busch to the bottom here. What kind of run does Kyle Larson get off of this corner?
Kurt Busch right up in front of the 42. Now he moves out of the way. Nobody in between the 18 and 42.
Kyle Busch again to the bottom. Another opportunity for Larson to get a huge run.
Coming up on one lap to go. Presented by Credit One Bank. And there's the gap between 1 and 2. Kyle Busch. And here comes Larson. Larson to the bottom of the track.
Slide job.
Trying to take the lead away.
Slide job. Almost.
The momentum. The 18. They make contact. The 18 into the wall. They're side by side again. Going into 3 for the lead. Larson has the advantage. Here comes the 18. He puts the ball in the back
goodness.
Of it. The 18 into the wall. The 42 sideways.